Another hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال السواك مطهرة للفم, the miswak is a means of cleaning the mouth, مرضات للرب, and a means of pleasing your Lord, or pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and this is narrated by An-Nasa'i. So this actually is an incredible act. And what's so unfortunate, you see, when you get these kind of actions, then you get yourself caught in between two things. One is, there's a lot of science to back up the necessity of cleaning one's mouth. I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry in this country, right? Toothbrushes and toothpaste and whiting gels and all these different things. Every day there's a new toothbrush and a new toothpaste to clean your mouth. Then you get caught between this making something a habit and making something an act of worship. So often we buy it because everybody else does it. You know, everybody else is buying these different products to clean their mouth, or because we're taught it as children, because the community as a whole does it, meaning most of the population here does it. And so we don't see it as an act of ibadah, it becomes an adah, a habit. And so when you have these type of acts, you need to always change them into acts of ibadah. And it's very difficult at times, but that's where the niyyah comes in. So when you wake up in the morning and brush your teeth, don't brush your teeth because you woke up. Brush your teeth because the Prophet ﷺ loved to brush his teeth when he woke up. All you have to do is flip the intention just in the slightest way, and what was normally just brushing the teeth becomes a great act of ibadah, which purifies your mouth and also becomes a way to please your Lord. You should do these acts when you have like a scientific proof to back up an act, but it's also part of the sunnah, which actually the sunnah is all backed up by science. When you do these acts, then you should always have the intention of fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ so that you gain a reward rather than just making it a habit. So that's actually the challenge in this day and age. We perform so many sunnahs. We perform so many sunnahs, but we do it because CNN reported the benefits of it, or because the ADA recommends you brush two times a day. The Dental Association of America recommends that you brush two times a day. So change these acts from habit into ibadah, and the magical wand that does so is called the niyyah. So always have the niyyah of fulfilling the sunnah. The truest of the sunnah in the case of the miswak is to actually use that traditional wooden toothstick that the Prophet ﷺ used to use. When you look at the Prophet ﷺ, you see him using this wooden toothstick. It's a beautiful interaction with nature. Because here, he's directly interacting with these trees which Allah created on a direct level and taking benefit from them. And it's this beautiful natural interaction between the Prophet ﷺ and nature. So if you can do so, that's great. And in fact, they're widely available at stores all over the place. And there's also some scientific evidence to back up the fact that the bristles on the miswak are better on the enamel on your teeth than the plastic, that the artificial things that are made by various companies. And there's also some proof that some of the juices that come out of the miswak, they have some bactericidal effects which destroy certain organisms, and that benefits you as well. So that's nature, and Allah created it for you. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ would not have advised us to do it. So within it, there are some benefits that artificial things will never be able to match. And perhaps we don't recognize this today, but perhaps 20 years from now, science will pick up on this. Just like in the 1970s, everybody said, you should give formula to your babies, you shouldn't breastfeed. Right? That was a big push in the 70s. They said, give formula, it's much better. We've put these various vitamins and these nutrients in formula, so everybody should give formula. And in fact, for a whole generation, all these women didn't breastfeed. And now, all the pediatricians say, no, you should not give formula, you should breastfeed, because it's so much more natural, you can never emulate what nature has made, no matter how much you try. And so in the same way, the miswak, the wooden miswak of the Prophet ﷺ, is natural. And I guarantee you, there will be benefits in that that you can never emulate in what is made by man. Because there's always going to be some differences, because Allah created that for us, and He created it in the best way. If you can, use a wooden toothstick. They're available. At the same time, plastic is okay as well. You know, these artificial toothpaste and etc., they fulfill the sunnah. You'll get your reward, inshallah. But there's just this beautiful interaction, which I just feel doesn't match what perhaps the wooden toothstick offers. So that's the second of the sunnah. The third sunnah of wudu is the tasmiyah. Tasmiyah means to say bismillah before each individual act. Saying bismillah is actually a means by which you bring barakah into individual acts. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu amrin dhibalin." Each important matter, لم يبدأ بإسم الله تعالى, which is not begun with the name of Allah, فهو أقطع. It is cut off. What do we mean? It's cut off from the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you take an act and you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you actually bring barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into that act, and it makes it a whole, you change the whole playing field. Now look at the statement Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's so vague. It's not even a sentence. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah, what? Exactly, that's the point. It's left open. So when you go into your house, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, I enter my house. When you exit your house, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, left blank, I exit my house. When you begin to brush your teeth, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, I clean my mouth. Before you eat, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, I'm eating. And before you wash the body parts in wudu, Bismillah, with the name of Allah, I'm washing these parts. Bismillah itself hints to the fact that it's to be used for everything, because it doesn't say Bismillah and then restrict it to anything. It's left as a general statement which can be applied to all these different acts that you do. It also places the act in perspective. Because think about it. Every single thing that you're doing in the wudu is actually because of Allah. Look, Allah gave you this body. So you wouldn't be able to even wash it if you didn't have it. Then Allah gave you the water. If you didn't have the water, you wouldn't be able to purify yourself. Then Allah gave you the wisdom to do the wudu by sending us the Prophet ﷺ and bestowing upon him his final book and creating around him a group of people who would subsequently transmit that information from generation to generation. That's all through the blessings of Allah. So actually, the whole thing is because of Allah, and you have very little role in the whole story. So of course you should take the name of Allah before you begin. Imagine that, like I called my daughter and I said, we're going to build a castle. And then I sit there, I build the whole castle, I put the whole thing together, I make this extensive castle, and then I sit her down and I say, congratulations, you did a great job. She didn't do anything. But I just congratulate her and say, okay, now here's your reward, and I give her a gift as a reward. That's exactly our scenario. Allah created the earth. He created us. He created everything around us. He gave us the tawfiq to do everything. He sent the messenger with the final message, and then all he did was put us there and say, congratulations, here's your Jannah. This is why we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before beginning each and every deed. We should take it before each and every body part of the four fara'id body parts. Meaning before you wash your face, say Bismillah. Before you wash your arms, say Bismillah. Before you wipe your head, say Bismillah. And before you wash your feet, say Bismillah. Why? Because as opposed to other acts of ibadah, for example, salah, in the wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you how to do it in the Qur'an. That's very unique. There are no ayat in the Qur'an that tell you how to pray. They tell you have to pray, but Allah does not go through and then list the sequence of events that you have to do for prayer. But wudu was such a unique action and such a beneficial action for the community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only commanded the wudu, but then subsequently listed each of the body parts that are mandatory to wash within the wudu. So because Allah took the pains to list each of these parts, we should take the pain to appreciate each and every individual body part as we wash it. It makes sense. Now, it's our fuqaha, they had tremendous wisdom in their development of our fiqh. The next sunnah is washing the hands to the wrist before you begin. This is actually based on the hadith which we spoke of earlier, and I'm not going to repeat it, but the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any of you wake up, before you put your hand in the utensil for making wudu, you should wash your hands first before you place them in anything. This in itself is an individual sunnah. Now later on, you're going to, because when you actually do the wudu, the first thing you do is wash your hands, right? And later on, you're going to wash your whole hand up to your arm. So this initial washing of the hand is actually an independent sunnah. And what it does is, it purifies the tool by which you will then use to purify the rest of your body. Meaning now you're going to use these hands to do everything in the wudu. You're going to wash your face with your hands. You're going to wipe your head with your hands. You're going to wash your arms with your hands. You're going to wash your feet with your hands. So you should, as sunnah, purify these hands before you begin the wudu. Now keep in mind, if you know that there's some impurity on your hand, you're sure about it, you can see that there's impurity on your hand, it's no longer sunnah, it becomes mandatory to wash the hands first. And that's obvious, because otherwise you're going to spread the impurity all over. So, in the case of the hands, realize that it's sunnah to do it before you begin. It's an independent sunnah. The fifth sunnah is actually following the order of the acts as revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. meaning doing the wudu in order. And in particular, these four acts. Allah revealed them in an order. He stated them to you in an order. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha kumtum ila salah, faghsilu wujuhakum, wash your faces. Wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiqi, wash your hands to your elbows. Wamsahu bi ru'usikum, wipe your heads. Wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bain, and wipe your feet. So each of these independent acts has been listed in a particular order. When Allah has listed them in order, then we will follow that order. That is how we follow the command of Allah, footstep by footstep. When Allah lists one thing first, we do it first. When He lists the next thing, then we do the next thing. When He lists the third thing, we do that thing third. That's how deep our following of the command is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in essence is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He followed the Qur'an to the T. This is something that we should keep in mind when we do the wudu, that we should keep these acts in order. Of course, it's only sunnah, so if you have to actually mix up the order, your wudu still occurs, but it's best to think about this ayah. And I always tell people, this is an ayah you should memorize. This is a very short ayah. I've recited it to you 4 or 5 times already, so now some of the words may be familiar to you. Just memorize this ayah. And when you sit and do the wudu, run the ayah through your head. So you reflect on the ayah, you recite the ayah. That's a beautiful interaction between you and the Holy Quran. And as you watch each part, think about what the ayah says. Now, the next sunnah is continuity. And what we mean by continuity is that you wash each part after the other. Allah commanded a sequence of parts, so you keep them in sequence and you keep that sequence together. You don't wash the face and then talk to your friend and then, you know, clean your teeth a little bit and then wash the next part. No, you do it exactly in the order. One part's wet, continue to wash the next part. Continue to wash the next part. Keep in mind that this is a sunnah. It's not mandatory. So, for example, there may be times when you may want to break the sequence of the wudu for a few moments because of a secondary reason. For example, let's say you're at work. You're worried about co-workers coming in because it's kind of awkward to them to open the door and your foot's in the sink. So what do? You start washing all these different parts and all of a sudden somebody walks in. So you wait a couple moments for them to actually go into the stall or so that they can leave before you put your foot in the sink. That's fine. Your wudu will still occur. Now the next thing is repetition 3 times. So we said that the ayah of the Quran commands you to wash each body part. And that command is a single command which can be fulfilled by a single act. But washing 3 times is actually sunnah. And washing 3 times, not more and not less. We should try to wash each part 3 times because this guarantees us that we complete the action properly. So it's a way of making certain that the act actually occurs and that every part gets washed. But even more so, it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine a scenario where you wash a part 3 times and you're still not sure if you missed an area. In that case, you're allowed to wash a 4th time. But once you've washed 3 times and you're sure, you shouldn't become paranoid and say, uh-oh, you know, I might have missed something small over here, and then keep washing it 5 more times. Because that's how Shaitan gets to you. You know, when Shaitan, he comes to you and he'll start whispering to you, oh, you didn't do this right, oh, you didn't do that right. Once you've fulfilled an act to the level of the sunnah, then be confident that inshallah it occurred. So once you see that you've washed your body part and you're relatively sure, you don't need to go molecular and start saying, I didn't catch this one cell. You don't have to worry about that. You just wash 3 times according to the sunnah. And this is actually, there's hikmah in it because it's a means of avoiding waswasat. And perhaps we'll talk about that in one of the evening sessions, how to avoid the waswasat of shaitan. Also keep in mind that this condition is a sunnah, washing 3 times. So it too can fall in certain occasions. For example, you're at work and you don't want to stick your foot in the sink for, you know, to wash 3 times because it's more likely someone will open the door and catch you. So then you just wash it 1 time and you wash it very well. But the point is you have to wash the foot and you got to wash it well. So again, you want to try to keep up with the sunnah, but if you personally are not able to handle that situation at work, then that's between you and your Lord. He knows you and you know Him, what He's required of you. And so you can do the best to your abilities. The next sunnah is rinsing the mouth to the back of the throat. Now keep in mind that I'm not listing these sunnah in order. I'm just randomly listing them, but I'll go through the wudu in order in a minute. So the next sunnah is actually rinse the mouth to the back of the throat. And what this implies is that you actually take water and gargle it all the way to the back of the throat. Now this in and of itself is a sunnah, and you need to be careful in the month of Ramadan. You don't want to gargle too far back because if you swallow any of that water, you could potentially break your fast. So in the month of Ramadan, you want to take due care not to gargle too far back. But otherwise, you want to gargle fairly well and make sure that you get to the back of the throat. Another sunnah is rinsing the nose. rinsing the nose back to the soft bone. And the same thing here, in the month of Ramadan, you don't want to push water beyond the soft bone, because then it'll end up going back down to the throat. The nose is connected to the throat. So you have to be careful as well in this case. Another sunnah is to do khilal, to intersperse your fingers between the fingers so that you get these areas, you know, the web of your fingers, in between your fingers, you get these areas as well. So that's an independent sunnah within the wudu. Also, it's a sunnah to wipe in the beard. You take your hand when it's wet and you actually wipe through the beard if you have a thick beard. Another sunnah is to wipe the full head. Again, I told you 1/4 was farad, but the entire head is actually sunnah. And we know from hadith that the way the Prophet ﷺ used to wipe the entire head was the following manner, and this is related in both Bukhari and Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Zayd, in which he says that the Prophet ﷺ used to wipe like this. First he would go from the hairline over the top of the head to the back of the head, and then he would subsequently come forward with his palms over the temple area, so over the side of the head. So this is actually the sunnah of doing the entire head, and that covers the whole head. According to Imam Malik, the entire head is actually farad. And again, according to Imam Shafi, less than 1/4 of the head is farad. So there's variation, but in the end, when you perform the wudu according to the sunnah, all these differences are going to they become moot, because you'll have performed everything in perfection. Another sunnah is to rub the body parts, to make sure that the body parts get wet as you wash them. And another sunnah is to wipe the neck and to not wipe the throat. Because in hadith it's come that the person who wipes the back of his neck, he'll be protected from the ring of fire that goes around the neck on the Day of Judgment, or in the hellfire, depending on where it might be. The final thing, which is a sunnah, is to begin with the right side when you're washing each individual part. First you wash the right hand 3 times, then you wash the left hand 3 times. First you wash the right leg 3 times, then you wash the left leg 3 times. And this is based on the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب التيمن ما استطاع في ترجله وتنعله وطهوره. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love the right hand side in his putting on shoes and in his combing his hair and in his purifying himself. This hadith mentions 3 acts. In general, the ulama agree that anything you do, you should always try to do it beginning with the right side, except one thing, which is entering the bathroom. The entering of the bathroom occurs with the left foot, and exiting the masjid occurs with the left foot. So there are 2 acts which actually begin with the left. Otherwise, basically everything you do, actually 3. Also removing clothing. When you remove clothing, you should start with the left and then the right. So when you put clothing on, you begin with the right and then the left, and it's opposite when you remove the clothing. So there are a few acts within our Sharia that where the left takes dominance, but otherwise the majority of actions are based on the right. So because the Prophet ﷺ kana yuhibbu, he used to love it, so we love it. We have no choice. We don't decide what we love. We're servants. Whatever our master tells us to love, that's what we love. So the Prophet ﷺ loved it because Allah loved it. And so because the Prophet loved it, we love it. No more debate or discussion. It's over for us. You know, we don't make up our own rulings. We follow the messenger. One more thing is that when you're washing the body parts, it's sunnah to begin with the tips. So if you're washing the hands, to begin with the tip of the hand and work your way to the elbow. If you're wiping the head, to begin with the tip of the head and then work your way back. And if you're washing the feet, to begin with the tip of the toes.